Bill Barty, outdoor guy from Jesse Brown's. We've got the Berg Mangler, Dave Bergman, right beside me. There he is. You hear the voice. Hey, in North Carolina, we've got over 3,000 trout streams, lakes, rivers that have these fish called trout, whether it be rainbow, whether it be brook, whether it be brown. Some of them actually even have golden trout in them, whether it be wild or stocked. We also have different regulations on these trout streams, from hatchery supported to delayed harvest to wild trout waters. And we're going to talk to Dave Bergman a bit about that. So we invite you to listen in as we learn about trout fishing in North Carolina. But Dave, more specifically to just trout fishing, there is a topic titled blue lining in the trout fishing community. Blue lining, and that is the adventure or escape of chasing the blue lines that you would see on a map in order to get to wild trout waters that other people who aren't so hardy in adventure or who aren't as hardy in the physicality of trout fishing maybe would not seek out. Can you talk to us a little bit about the blue lining of North Carolina trout fishing?
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, Bill, thanks for having me. Talking about fishing again, if I had to talk about one thing for the rest of my life, this would be it. Blue lining. Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite ways to trout fish. If I'm fishing on my own and I'm not guiding, 9 times out of 10 I will be blue lining. And you kind of mentioned it already. The reason why it's called blue lining is because they're little blue lines on the map. Now, Southern Appalachia, North Carolina, we are blessed with tons and tons of blue lines. All these main streams that you might have fished, whether it be delayed harvest, hatchery supported, even catch and release, they all have these blue lines running into them, and most of the time they are holding wild trout. Now, here in Southern Appalachia, our wild trout don't get massive. You definitely get some big fish out there. There are definitely some places where you're going to hook into 16, 18-inch fish, that's for sure. Most of the blue lines you're fishing are going to be smaller trout. They're wild trout. But that makes them absolutely beautiful, and they fight like a trout 3 times their size. That's why I love to go blue lining.
And I want to ask you a difference, just for our listeners out there, to talk a little bit about the difference between a wild trout and a, I guess we're going to call it a stocked trout, or a fish that the state contracts to be inserted into these streams. What constitutes a wild trout? Is it the native brook trout, or is there such a thing as wild rainbows, wild browns?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are wild rainbows, wild brown trout. So a wild trout is a fish. So your wild brown trouts and your wild rainbows, their ancestors were all stocked fish, right? Because we don't naturally, brown trout come from Europe, rainbow trout come from the Western United States. The only native species we have here is the brook trout. So a rainbow trout and a brown trout, all their ancestors are going to be stocked fish. But there are wild rainbow trout, wild brown trout, and there are generations of them in a lot of these blue lines. You mentioned our only native species is the brook trout. Now, the special thing about the brook trout here on our blue lines is we have a strain, the Southern Appalachian brook trout. Doesn't get as big as our northern cousin that lives up north. Actually, if you are fishing the stocked water, the brook trout you are catching are derived from a northern strain. But if you go to the native fish up high, the native brook trout, the Southern Appalachian brook trout, to me, is the most beautiful fish in existence. If you have the pleasure of going blue lining up high for native Southern Appalachian brook trout, that is, to me, the creme de la creme, the best of the best.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, and you used some words in there that for our listeners, we need to probably backtrack and talk a little bit about. You said up high, and you've used Southern Appalachia. These fish, these trout, all live really in western North Carolina, to the Carolina outdoors. Mm-hmm. Anyway, these are fish that do not live in the Piedmont. They do not live In eastern North Carolina.
So you're talking about the brook trout specifically, right?
Well, the trout, I guess, the cold water. I'm hitting for the cold water.
We actually do have wild trout in the Piedmont. Yeah, there are quite a few wild rainbow streams and browns peppered in there as well.
Oh,
that's going to be, of course, Piedmont closer to the mountains, obviously. That's what I would consider Piedmont. The Piedmont is where the mountains slope off and start to turn into foothills. Is what I'm talking about.
So that would be, just to clarify, a place like South Mountain State Park, which has Jacob Fork in it, which is a stocked stream from October through May, but up above the falls in Stone Mountain State Park, or South Mountain State Park, a great place to go for a hike and see the upper falls. Beyond the falls in that park, there are wild brook trout.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I'm actually... one of my favorite places in the Piedmont to fish for wild trout. You won't really see any brook trout. A little too low in elevation for the brook trout, but there are plenty of wild rainbows in the Piedmont that I've seen numerous times and caught numerous times. So there are places closer to where we are located that do produce wild trout. Make no mistake about that.
Well, I'm going to get you to take us on a little bit of a trip beyond the Piedmont. It's cool to think of them here, but not famously known for as much as it is in the mountains. And we're talking about from the Great Smoky National Park to Nantahala to the Pisgah National Forest is filled with wild trout streams, and people pursuing the art of blue lining will go there. Can you talk to us about some of the best places for pursuit of the Southern Appalachian brook trout and other wild fish?
Absolutely. So if we're talking specifically about the brook trout, we want to get up to a high elevation. They like it up high, small creeks, cold water. That is the Southern Appalachian brook trout's domain. That is where they thrive. Also, the other reason for that is rainbows and browns are more aggressive than brook trout. And brook trout used to live in some of these lower elevations, but the wild rainbow trout or brown trout populations overtook the brook trout. So the brook trout are high up, really high up where the rainbows and the browns don't tend to go. So that's why you have to get up high to get those brook trout. So places to go, here's the best thing about blue lining, right? We call it blue lining because what I'm going to do is, when I'm going blue lining, I'm looking at a map, all right? I'm looking at a map and I'm looking for small feeder creeks that flow into some of our main creeks and rivers, all right? And you mentioned Pisgah National Forest is massive. You look on a map of all the districts of Pisgah National Forest, you're going to see blue lines everywhere. And a lot of those are going to hold wild trout. Even some places, the tiniest drainages that are maybe only 8 feet wide are going to hold wild trout. That's actually some of my favorite fishing to do. Some of those rhododendron-choked streams where those trout have never even seen an angler before in their lives because people don't want to venture into it. It's hard to scramble through it. You got to use a really short rod, a lot of bow and arrow casting. And that's, to me, is the real Southern Appalachian fly fishing. Just getting into that brush and dog hobble and bramble, getting into those tiny creeks and finding these beautiful little trout.
Hey, as we're talking about the places to go, a quick aside. Techniques. Are there special techniques like bow and arrow casting or... I don't even know what you would call now in the fly fishing realm. People are fishing really light yet really long rods to dabble their leader and tippet and fly into these wild waters.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So we'll go into it. A lot of these blue lines, right, they're going to be thinner, rockier, more bouldery than the delayed harvest and hatchery-supported streams that you're used to fishing. They're going to be really thin, and a lot of times you're fishing up them. All right, so you're using a smaller rod, of course, 1 to 3 weight rods, right? You're going to be using, some people do use really short rods, especially when I'm talking about going into the really choked places. You're going to want to use a really short rod or else you're just going to get caught up in everything. Some people like to use a really long rod where they're hardly even casting. You're literally just dipping your fly right into that little hole in front of you. There's all kinds of techniques. I like to use the really short rod. It kind of gives me access to going to some of the more brushed out places than other folks. Some people like to carry two rods with them. Some people are diehard blue liners and will carry two rods with them, a big, long nymph rod and a really short rod. I'm talking like 6 feet on that short rod. So very short. And what were we talking about? Places to go still?
Sorry I took you aside on that one a little bit. But then maybe I mentioned Great Smoky Mountain National Park through the Nantahala Park to
that forest, Nantahala Forest will...
What are some of the more primary rivers that have some of the best blue lining tributaries to them that you prefer to go to?
Yeah, we want to look at the basins, right? So you have your, for example, you have your French Broad Basin, you have your Yadkin Basin. These are all water tables, right? And then you want to look at all the things flowing into that, correct? So let's, for example, use the Yadkin Water Basin, all right? We're looking at the Mitchell River flows into the Yadkin. That Mitchell River is a trout stream a lot of us know, delayed harvest trout stream. What things flow into the Mitchell, if any? And let's not forget, the Mitchell, if you go high up on it, starts to thin out. They don't stock up there, but they've been stocking in it for years. So what do you think might be up higher on the Mitchell, past all the riffraff? Those are things you got to look at, too. So there are wild trout in there as well. And that's just an example, right? You can look at any water basin, look at the river, look on a map, look at the blue lines going into that river, see if you can get some access. Watch out for people's private property, please. That is one danger of blue lining. Just make sure you are not stepping onto other people's private property to get onto these wild trout streams. So just remember that. Want to be respectful of other people's land.
Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back and continue to pursue these places, find out where these fish are. I may ask you a few surprise questions to see if these fish are in multiple states in our area as well. And then secondly, we'll delve into the size of them. I mean, are these half an inch fish, or can they get up to be 14 inches in length? Some people would call that, some of our saltwater friends would call that bait. But when I ask, we're talking about blue lining here on the Carolina Outdoors. We've got Dave Bergman, the Berg Mangler, and I'm Bill Barty, one of the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's. Stay tuned with us. We'll be back with more after this.